Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sean, how are you, man?
I'm good, JR. How you doing, man?
I'm excellent. How are all my wonderful friends in Houston? Everybody has to be loving this, right?
We've been loving the whole offseason. I mean, this is just like another thing that's been going on in what's been a series of kind of holy bleep moments for the Texans. It really goes back, honestly, it goes back probably about a year ago to the draft when they drafted C.J. Stroud and they traded up for Will Anderson. And it's been just a series of moments like that for the last year for a franchise that for the 3 years before that was somebody, you know, a franchise that everybody kind of pointed at and laughed at and made fun of. And now they're the toast of the town for another day today with the Stephon Diggs trade. It's been really, really cool, man.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Listen, I had people call me from Houston, Texas all the time those 3 years telling me that they were giving their tickets up, that they were no longer, you know, going out to the field, that they could care less about the Texans. And now we've seen that change. When you think about all the weapons that they have, you talked about D'Amico Ryans and adding Stroud and Will Anderson and now adding Stephon Diggs. Are people talking Super Bowl in Houston, or are the expectations a little bit more tempered?
No, I mean, as you know, I'm on in the morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and this trade came down at 9:59 Central Time today. So I'll get my feel for what everybody's feeling like in terms of interacting with my listeners tomorrow. But from social media and just being out and about town the last few hours, I think this has really amped up people's expectations for what the Texans are going to be this coming season. The schedule gets a lot harder for them this year than it was last year. They're facing a ton of the top quarterbacks next season. But I think Texan fans feel like they've got the firepower to stand in and trade blows, especially with CJ pulling the trigger. With Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and you add Stephon Diggs to that wide receiver room, that's just a crazy thing that it feels like for me to say, JR. You're adding Stephon Diggs to a wide receiver room where I think a lot of Texans already feel like you've got a couple guys who could be number one wide receivers. And certainly in Nico Collins, and I know Tank is a young player, but he was putting up numbers like that before he got hurt, and they add Joe Mixon too. So, yeah, I think the expectations are that the Texans are going to be one of these teams that when you're getting down to the last eight teams, the last four teams, that they're one of the ones that's standing in there trading blows for sure.
Sean Pendergast is here with us from Sports Radio 610 down in Houston, Texas. C.J. Stroud had a historical year. 4,100 yards, I don't want to shortchange him, 4,100 yards passing, 23 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. It's going to be tough to duplicate those numbers. What do you expect to see, or what are some areas of growth where he can kind of pick up some slack and get better?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest thing for C.J. would be production in the red zone. There's not a lot to really look at CJ's rookie year and say, boy, he really needs to take things up a notch there. I mean, he threw only 5 interceptions, so it's hard for me to look at decision-making and say he really needs to improve his decision-making. He was really good when Tank Dell was out and, you know, Nico Collins missed a couple games. He was still able to spread the ball around. He did it without really a nice running game. The Texans' rush game was not great last year. They had to lean on Devin Singletary, who's really more of a third-down back, to be a bell cow. But I would say the one thing that, and I think CJ would say this too, would be that in the red zone, a lot of times they had opportunities in games to really close out games, and they got in the red zone and they were getting 3s instead of 7s. So I think that'd be one thing that he can improve on, is going and making sure he can get touchdowns. And they're going to need to. I mean, they play, if you look at their schedule next year, JR, they've got Josh Allen, they've got Patrick Mahomes, they've got Lamar Jackson, they've got Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love. It is a hard schedule next year, and I think that's a big reason why Stephon Diggs is on this team now. They're going to be in a lot of shootouts next year.
When you think about the offense, you just ran through what they got with the offense, Sean. Nobody talks about the defense, and the defense is stacked as well from the front line, adding Danielle Hunter. You still have Stingley Jr. You got Will Anderson, who I would expect to make another jump. Nobody talks about the defense. This is going to be a solid team from 1 to 22.
Yeah, no question. The Danielle Hunter acquisition was the one that I felt in this offseason really put them kind of over the top in terms of all the pundits and the experts looking at them saying, okay, this is a team we got to take seriously. Like Nick Caserio, the GM, and D'Amico Ryans are not messing around this offseason. And then they go get Stephon Diggs today. So, yeah, the defense, and I think there's still areas of the defense this offseason that need attention. They made some good signings, not just Danielle Hunter, but they signed D'Amico Autry and Azeez El-Shaair from the Titans, who are both really solid, more than role players. I mean, El-Shaair was a really productive linebacker, and Autry is a dog on that defensive line. But they still need help at cornerback. The interior of the defensive line is still a bit of a concern. But I can just tell you, as somebody who covers the Texans and someone who roots for them, that we're sitting here nitpicking at who the interior defensive lineman is and who cornerback number two is on this team, when 2 years ago we were talking about them starting literally 8 or 9 rookies midway through the season. This is a really good spot to be in for the Texans right now.
Morning show host Sean Pendergast from Sports Radio 610 down in Houston is here with us on CBS Sports Radio. There was a lot of talk early on a few years ago that this was the Patriots South. And Nick Caserio, Patriots South, that's been turned off. We don't hear any more of that, do we?
No, we don't. And I think it's really become more, if we're looking at a team that they're patterning themselves after, it's really much more of a San Francisco model now than it is New England. And I always thought that the New England South thing was overblown, and I think the Texans kind of leaned into it inadvertently a little bit when Nick first got here in 2021 and Jack Easterby was still in the building. And I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with the Jack Easterby saga, but Jack Easterby was a character coach with the Patriots who kind of took over the building with the Texans in a bad way. And I think there was a lot of sensitivity with the Texans. They didn't want to be perceived as New England South. So they almost like outwardly said, we are not the Patriots South. Like, so they haven't really, other than a couple little, you know, a couple Patriot pickups along the way, haven't really operated that way. And certainly since D'Amico Ryans got into the building, they've operated much more on a San Francisco level than a New England level. And I would say specific to Nick Caserio, I think a lot of people expected him, as a lot of New England guys who left the building in New England and tried to operate like Bill Belichick, Nick Caserio hasn't really done that at all here. I mean, I'm saying in terms of interviews, you know, the way he interacts with the media, some of the pickups that he's made, I think the way he operates in the draft, whereas Belichick was one of these GM/coaches that tried to find a lot of small school guys, Nick Caserio, literally all 23 of his draft picks have been from Power 5 schools. So Nick Caserio has done a lot of things that have been a huge departure from the Patriot way. So anybody that's perceiving the Texans that way just isn't really paying attention to the Texans. Nick Caserio, I think, has really shown that he's his own man in the 3 years that he's been the GM here, for sure.
Hey, Sean, as we start to wrap things up, this is a Texans team that we saw just smash the Browns. They lost to a team that went to the AFC Championship game. They've added more talent. Where do you think that they're going to end up? Is it, hey, we got to reach the divisional round again? Like, what is the realistic expectation from your perspective?
I think this look, if you live in this town, then you know that the Texans have never made an AFC title game. They've made the divisional round several times since they started making the playoffs on a fairly regular basis in 2011. They didn't make the playoffs as a franchise until a decade into them existing. And since 2011, they've made the playoffs, I don't know, 7 or 8 times. And other than a couple of times, it always seems to end in the divisional round. I think the AFC title game is definitely a realistic expectation. And I think that's now the expectation for Texan fans here in town, is that with all the moves they've made this offseason, a bunch of all-in moves that they've made with a quarterback, a really good quarterback on a rookie deal, that the anything short of getting to the AFC Championship game, I think, is going to be a major disappointment for Texans fans.
And I've had to calm people down on the Stephon Diggs as a distraction. Look at what Stephon Diggs just did. Stephon Diggs is going to do it again. And my thought process is, who cares? I don't think it's going to happen in year one or year two. So just use him and abuse him while he's on the team now. I got no concerns. Do you have any?
No, I don't, and I think you nailed it, JR, is I think he's shown in the two places he's been so far is there's a shelf life And I don't think the Texans view Stephon Diggs as being someone who's going to be on this team beyond what his shelf life has proven to be at the other places he's been. And I think the other thing to think about, too, here is that D'Amico Ryans is a supremely respected leader, not only within the building here at NRG Stadium, but I think around the league, too. D'Amico Ryans is really respected. And I think for a young quarterback, I think C.J. Stroud draws a lot of respect, too. The Texans didn't give up very much at all in the grand scheme of things to get Stephon Diggs. If Stephon Diggs is an issue in the locker room with this Texans team, they can punt on Stephon Diggs, and really all the only sunken cost, honestly, is his salary, because they didn't give up very much draft capital-wise when you consider that they picked up that extra second-round pick that they used to get Stephon Diggs in that deal with Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, but they just moved back a few slots in the draft. So I think it's a very easy deal to eject from if Stephon Diggs is being a problem. I don't think he's going to be a problem, and I think there's enough leadership in the building here. There's a reason why you get a coach that's a leader and you draft guys that are leaders, because some guys need to be brought into the locker room who need to be led, and if Stephon Diggs is one of those guys, then so be it. I think they've got plenty of leadership in the building there to get the maximum out of Stephon Diggs.
Sean Pendergast, final question for you. I know you're a big WWE guy. Is Roman Reigns finally going to lose at WrestleMania? I mean, how many more matches? What's up with this guy? He can't be champion for a million days, can he?
I kind of hope so. I'm a Cody Rhodes fan. I don't know how many people I know The Rock's done the best he can do to kind of paint Cody in a certain kind of light these last several weeks. I've loved the build up to this WrestleMania and the Bloodline. Man, they've got so much juice out of the Bloodline storyline, really, for the last few years, even going back to Sami Zayn and everything else. So I'm just anxious to see how it all plays out over a 2-day period. But I'm all for seeing Cody get to, as the Rock says with much disdain, finish his story. I kind of hope that happens on Sunday, JR.
Oh, well, thank you, Sean. If anything, just go to Philadelphia, bring your crowbar, and then just ensure that the story completes, okay? Where can people find you, listen to you, keep up with you online, all that good stuff, Sean?
Yeah, appreciate that, man. Yeah, obviously on the Odyssey app, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time, obviously 7 to 11 Eastern Time. And then on, are we calling it Twitter X these days? Whatever it is, at Sean T. Pendergast on Twitter/X is where you can find me, and always enjoy joining you, man.
And no doubt about it. We'll catch you on down the line, Sean. Catch you soon, okay?
All right, thanks, JR. Appreciate you, bro.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.